The opinions expressed in Asian Wave are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. That being said, thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show.
From campus to the city, this is Spirit Live. Your sound, your stories, your station. Straight from the students of Toronto Metropolitan University.
From the catchy tunes of K-pop to the captivating worlds of anime, video games, and the delicious flavors of ramen and boba, East Asian culture has been making a huge impact on the world around us. But what's really behind these trends and how are they shaping our daily lives? Hi, I'm Annika.
I'm Beth.
And I'm Ohana.
And I'm Neo.
Have you ever heard of Asian Wave?
No. What is that?
What are the latest fashion trends in Japan?
You wouldn't believe what happened to NewJeans.
불쌍한 애들.
하나만 가까이 나한테.
Can we go for some pawpaw right now?
And welcome to our very first episode of Asia Wave!
Flock it!
Here we explore the rise of Asian pop culture and its global influence. And today we'll be diving into things we grew up with that have become mainstream.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes. But before we get into that, we should introduce ourselves because, you know, this is our first episode. So I think everyone should go around, say who they are, and also just like your background, you know, because we are all Asian here, you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So who would like to start?
I can start.
Yes, you can start.
So, my name's Ohana Kang.
Hi.
What's up, guys? I'm Korean Filipino. My mom is Filipino and my dad is Korean. I was born and raised in Canada, but my favorite parts about growing up mixed, I say, was growing up with two different types of food. So, you know, I got the lumpia at the Filipino functions.
Always the Filipino functions, yup.
And then I got like the fresh homemade kimchi and samgyeopsal Korean functions.
That sounds so good. Samgyeopsal is so good. Okay, what's the next?
Hey guys, this is Beth. My last name is Lee, so I'm from Korea. And I came to Canada like around 9 years ago. Wow. That's really I was a kid. It was 2016 winter when I first came here. I used to live in Vancouver, and it's my 2 years living in Toronto downtown. Favorite part of growing about Asian, probably like Asia. All the cultures are really oriented, really like rooted, like historical. That's the favorite part. Like we have our history. History got our back.
Yes.
So every time we like introduce, like express ourselves, we can resonate with those kind of our backgrounds. I think that's the most like essential. That's the favorite part. So
poetic as hell.
Yeah. That our history is so rich.
It really is. Yeah. Okay, Neo, do you want to go?
Hi, guys. I'm Neo. My last name's Capulong Jarvis. I'm half Asian and half Black. My Asian side, I'm Filipino. And then my Black side, my dad is from a few islands in the Caribbean. Pretty cool. Growing up, I mostly felt closer to my Asian side, but still felt like I always had to, like, prove it because I'm only half. But now that I'm grown, I'm, like, very proud of my Filipino origins. And
And what's your favorite part about being biracial?
I think my favorite part about being biracial is being able to relate to do different sides of a coin, basically, and getting to grow up with those two different lived experiences.
I'm Annika.
Hi.
Hi. My last name is Azarcon, and I am fully Filipino. I was born in the Philippines in Manila. And I moved here when I was two, so I don't remember anything from the Philippines. So I was raised here. My favorite part of growing up Asian was just being surrounded by the language and stuff, because I was raised with both Tagalog and English. And my favorite part is just being bilingual. Like, even if my Tagalog isn't that good, I feel like language is just such an important part of like culture and stuff. So I'm very grateful that I was kind of raised with that, and I do want to like improve my language skills a bit more. But yeah, that's it. So that Ooh. Is Ooh. That is us.
That is us. That is us.
So that's us. Yeah. So let's talk about it. Things that we grew up with are now popular like everywhere. So what are some of the things you thought were, you know, not underappreciated when you were like growing up that you've seen become such a huge hit now, like especially in mainstream pop culture?
Like, I remember anime being like the super weird kid thing.
Yeah,
like
sure.
That's the nerdy, the
like
the
you used to get
crap.
Bullied for watching
no,
anime.
No, like actually, yeah.
And now it's like everywhere, you know, One Piece, Attack on Titan.
It's literally like such a big part of like, not like just, not even pop culture, like culture now.
Mm-hmm.
Like K-pop, I mean, anime is like referenced in everything, I feel like.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
Everyone like knows what anime is now.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys have like a favorite anime or like favorite animes like growing up?
Oh my god, my first one was Cells at Work. I don't know if you guys know that.
I
one.
Love oh Cells at Work. That's so crazy. Cells that's your first
that was
ever
my first
anime.
Ever anime.
What? That's such a crazy pull, but yeah.
And I think, I mean, back, you know how Asian parents are, like mine wanted everything to be educational.
Yeah.
And I guess it was just ingrained in me, like if I'm watching an anime, it has to be educational in some sort of way.
Yeah. I mean, you learn a lot from Cells at Work. You learn so much. Like it teaches you so much
for
about
real.
The body and stuff like that.
White blood cells.
Exactly.
Macrophage.
Yeah. Like I didn't even take biology. So like I learned so much about that. But yeah.
And then, but I think the first one that was most impactful on me was definitely Haikyuu.
Mm. Oh my god, yeah, same.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back in like grade 8 or grade 9, like 2020, like COVID
oh
era, like Haikyuu was like everyone's thing, you know? I feel like so many people were deeply engraved into the fandom. And I feel like that was like my first anime where I was like really into the fandom and stuff. Like 2020 was just like the year for anime, you know? What about, what are some animes that you guys kind of, like, grew up with?
Oh,
if you watched anime growing
obviously,
up.
Obviously, like, Pokemon.
Mm-hmm,
I love Pokemon. Like, my cousins are all, like, super nerdy, and they're all older than me. So, like, they definitely put me on to, like, Pokemon, Digimon, Yu-Gi-Oh, and then also, like, Dragon Ball Z. I feel like Dragon Ball Z is such a nostalgic one for me.
Yeah.
And, like, Inuyasha. Oh, my God.
Oh, okay, that's
so you have, like, the real
classic.
I got, like, guys.
Classic.
I got some weeb cousins. They put me on at a young age.
I think for me, like, the anime that got me, well, first of all, my first anime was actually Ouran High School Host Club.
Stop.
That's my nostalgia. My nostalgia.
Literally, like, my favorite
but
anime, like,
of all time. Unironically, it's comforting
actually.
And heartwarming. Like, the name and, like, the aesthetics and humor of it make it seem so unserious.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I hear the outro, like, the guitar,
tears. Yes, no, tears. It's so cheesy, but it's so good.
Yeah.
And I watched that when I was younger, and I was, like, I've rewatched it so many times just, like, throughout the years because it's generally, like, my comfort, nostalgic anime. But besides, like, Ouran High School Host Club, like, the anime that I kind of like brought me into anime was mostly like, I don't know, like Tokyo Ghoul. I'm trying to think what else. I watched a lot of like shoujo anime. So like Fruits Basket.
Oh, yeah.
Just like a lot of romance. Kind of just like action, I'd say. But yeah, mostly that. What about?
I don't know if it's only like Korean thing, but all of my childhood memories are from Korea. Well, I used to watch those Case Closed. I don't know if you guys heard of it.
Is it like an animated series?
Yeah, it's a really long series and popular.
Oh,
I don't know what's in
Detective Conan.
Yeah, the Detective Conan.
Yes. Oh,
yes.
Yes.
I wasn't sure his name is Conan just in Korean or not, because like sometimes their names are very
different.
Like in each country.
But it's the one with like the red tie, but
the short one.
Okay.
Yeah, the kid.
I know what you're talking about.
This is reminding me of Phoenix Ace Attorney.
I love Ace Attorney. Yes.
That one and the Doraemon.
Oh yeah, Doraemon. Is that
like the robots one?
Yeah, I think it was really a big thing. It is still a big thing in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
That like
really?
those two of them.
I mean, even here, like I see people they go crazy over collecting those.
They do.
Like if you ever go to like hobby stores, they're always there. And I always thought it was like fascinating, but I never actually knew
Really?
Yeah.
Well, moving on from, I have a big respect on Miyazaki Hayao.
What's that? Oh, Studio Ghibli.
Oh!
Yes!
That's the translation. Oh my god, okay.
Yeah, like, I mean, not, it is, I don't think it's my generation. It's my mom's and like
older one. Yeah, it's
older
like
one,
older generation.
But my mom, she loves Studio Ghibli. She loves every episode, every movie. Mm-hmm. Especially she loves Totoro. Mm-hmm. Is it Totoro?
Totoro.
Totoro. Totoro, yes. Yeah. I said Tororo. Totoro, that one. And the my favorite one is the one, I don't know the English title. It's like a Gaonashi.
Is it Howl's Moving Castle?
Kiki's Delivery Service.
No, not the castle. It's Spirit Away.
Spirit Away!
Yeah, that's my favorite one.
Me too.
I feel like, here, there's the thing with like Studio Ghibli movies. It's like, you don't even have to like anime to like them, you know?
I feel like they're just really good stories.
They're just great animation.
And like growing up, I realized there's a lot of political like, mm-hmm. like theme and message behind. Yeah. And like, especially we're media students. So like going through a lot of like film related studies, I have to respect him.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. he's very, like Howl's Moving Castle was anti-war. Yeah. It was meant to be anti-war.
Yeah. What is everyone's favorite, or let's say like top three Studio Ghibli movies?
Ooh, top three. Yeah. I think Howl's Moving Castle, maybe Spirited Away for sure. And maybe, I really like The Boy and the Heron, honestly. I really like that
one. Yeah, it was good.
That one was really good.
What about you, Ahana?
Okay, it's, the top two are the same for me, but I'd say Spirited Away first, and then Howl's Moving Castle. Which one's the one with Seiji Amasawa? Or, oh, Whisper of the Heart.
I've never heard of that one.
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Because I'm not going to lie, I haven't seen a lot of Studio Ghibli movies, but those were like the three that I can
list at
remember.
The top of your head. Yeah. What about you, Beth?
Definitely Totoro. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the story about Totoro.
It's just
like,
very wholesome.
Wholesome and like my childhood, just the thing, the concept of it, and Spirit Away, of course. And I was trying to like find the other one, and I don't know what it is actually.
But yeah, my favorite Studio Ghibli movies, Ponyo, because it's just like it feels good. Howl's Moving Castle, I think it's just a beautiful piece of art. Mm-hmm. And also Spirited Away is also just a really good comfort movie of mine. Oh, but like Graveyard of the Fireflies is just. I know that's more than three, but it's just like the effect it had on me was it lasted a lot.
I'm sure if I watched that and Princess Mononoke, that those two would probably be in my top three, just from like what people have said or the descriptions.
Another thing, you know, that we all, did we all grow up with K-pop first and foremost?
I did,
I mean, like, Ohana and Beth, they're just, like, Korean, so it's just music.
It's just in the blood.
It's just music.
It's just pop for them.
Yeah, like, I grew up on Nobody by Wonder Girls,
yes.
And I loved that music video because JYP gets stuck in the stall.
Yeah. I literally grew up, like, listening to K-pop, and I find that, like, a lot of people who are more into K-pop now, they just started, you know, like, fourth gen, third gen, newer K-pop stuff.
2017 was peak.
2018 for me was peak. Yeah. Like, Love Scenario, like, Shine by Pentagon.
Yeah, like, 2017, 2018 was, like, peak.
Yeah.
What generation was that, third?
I think so.
Yeah.
I guess third, like, starting to go into
It felt so different than it feels now.
It is.
Like, you just had to be there.
You had to be there. If you weren't there, then you, like, where were you? Yeah.
Well, there's a funniest story about me resonate with K-pop. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm Korean, so K-pop was...
just pop.
It's just pop. It doesn't have to be a thing in my culture. Like, it's just, I hear the song and I see people on the TV. They're all K-pop stars, like, right? Yeah. EXO, it was kind of like back in the day when I was in elementary school, of course, when older people, when they were in high school, middle school, it was like, the question was like, which member you like in EXO?
Yeah.
It was the question, just like that much. EXO's like influence was so big at the time.
did anyone, Ohana said EXO was her first group. EXO was also my first group.
Because they were, everyone's first they were group. So huge that they were like on par with, like I remember it was EXO versus BTS.
At some point. It was like GOT7, EXO, BTS, and those were like the top three.
Triple threat.
Yeah.
And it became 17 EXO.
Yeah.
But EXO was the OG.
No, EXO paved the way for like, third,
guys, we're gonna get canceled.
Yeah. No, I don't care. The opinions expressed on this podcast are individual and not necessarily representative. Okay. No, I also got, funny you say you got into K-pop in second grade, because I got into K-pop like second grade. But you were like raised and you were in Korea at the time, so of course it was just like music for you. But for here at the time,
it was definitely
it was so niche.
It was like you do not tell people that you listen to that.
No, exactly. Yeah. Like I remember, the first time I heard K-pop out in public was actually in H&M, and they were playing FX. I don't know exactly what song they were playing. They were playing "Rum Pum Pum Pum" by FX. Oh, I don't know if you guys like know that song. I literally grew up with listening to like Sonyeoshide, like Girls' Generation, FX, EXO. Like I grew up listening to those groups. How was your guys' experience like listening to K-pop? Because guys, I literally got bullied for liking K-pop.
No, say I literally did not tell anyone. I literally did not tell anyone.
Tell us about it.
Like I feel like again, like I got put on it from my cousins, like Girls' Generation, like all the older groups.
Like 2012 like, time. Yes, oh my god, yes. You get me. Yes.
But
yes.
Like I literally like would not show, like if someone asked me what I listened to, I'd be like, oh, like everything, you know, I listened to like pop, but like, I would not say like I listened to K-pop. I feel like it was just like such like a niche thing, and like it was so easy for people to make fun of you for it back then.
I actually didn't get bullied for it because I mean I started liking it more in grade 7. I think I used to be the one making the faces, being like, oh, K-pop.
No, that's totally understandable.
My bad, guys. But I remember vividly one moment in elementary school. I think it was like grade 6 or younger, but this girl found out that I was half Korean, and she was like, "Oh my God, you're Korean!" And then she hugged me, like without prompt. She just threw her arms around me.
You're the closest she's ever gonna get.
Oh my God. And I just thought that was and like I've had variations of that exact reaction all throughout life after like the rise of K-pop, so it's just been really interesting. I think that we definitely do benefit from it being so centered in Western pop culture now with like the way people treat us, but there's like a certain balance that has to be achieved before it becomes straight out fetishization. And like, yes, I am grateful when people are like, "Oh my gosh, you're Korean! Like that's so cool." But on the other hand, it's like, damn, nobody says that when I say that I'm half Filipino.
Wow, you're Filipino. That's so cool.
Yeah. Wow, you're Filipino. My wife's dad is Filipino.
Oh, you're Filipino. What's like nobody's be like, "Oh, you're Filipino." Like, what's your favorite like beanie member? Who's your favorite beanie member? Like. Nobody says that, and that's because like Filipino mainstream pop culture isn't.
Oh my god,
praise.
I love Pente, I love Lumpia so much.
Let's talk about the Filipino culture,
Filipino pop culture. I'm not really like
exactly.
I feel like
into it. I don't know. Like
I feel like growing up, it was really hard to see like representation for Filipinos in media that weren't just like making jokes of Filipino people.
And it's still like that.
But I feel like we're progressing to a point where like it's more known, because like growing up, when like someone like would think of like, you'd ask them like, oh, like think of like Asia, they would think of like Korea, China, Japan, and
East
then
Asia,
maybe Vietnam, and like most people don't even know if the Philippines is in Asia.
They think of it as like Pacific Islander, maybe. Mm-hmm.
But like now, like ube is like such a mainstream thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's like Filipino culture is definitely taking off and like getting more spotlight in the world.
Funny you say ube, because when I think about like stuff that has like influenced or bled more into like Western culture in terms of like, you know, things from the Philippines, like definitely like ube is one of them. I'm trying to think of like what else. Yeah, we don't have much representation in media. So it's kind of like growing up Asian or just like being Asian in general, I don't see Filipinos in media. So I kind of just cling on to like the first Asian person I see, the first like Asian woman I see. And most of the time, they're not Southeast Asian. They're just East Asian. So, okay, wait, let's talk about like food more. Well, first of all, was food, like eating Asian food, a big part of you growing up? Because
yeah, it was definitely a big, yeah. Especially because my favorite Filipino food is sinigang. Mm-hmm. And whenever like at school, like when we'd have to like share like, oh, what's your favorite food? And people would always ask, oh, like what is that? And I would never know how to like explain it in, because I never like, I only knew the Tagalog word for broth.
Yeah.
Because my all my family members, like we just said sabaw.
Sabaw, yeah.
Which is broth in Tagalog. And like I would always be like, oh, like it's just sabaw and rice.
Yeah.
And people would be like, what's that? Like
what's sabaw?
Like what's sabaw? And like, yeah. it was like a soup, you know? Like I didn't know how to like explain it was broth.
Yeah. It's like a very, for those of you who don't know what sinigang is, like it's like a soup. Stew.
It's like a very sour.
Pork very
bone.
Sour.
Pork bone stew.
It doesn't have to be pork bone. Like
it could be like chicken.
Like,
okay. Fish.
I eat it with pork bone.
I eat it with pork bone as well.
Yeah.
But actually, I had it with salmon the other day.
It's really good with fish, actually.
Yeah, it's great with fish.
Interesting.
I think because like the sourness like complements the fish.
No, I agree. Yeah,
wait, I'm learning something new. I've only ever had it with pork bone.
Really?
I'll eat any kind of sinigang.
No, like any kind of sinigang is good. The pork bone is my favorite.
I just really like putting my rice in this soup, leftover soup.
Yeah, as you should. That's the way you should eat it.
I only eat it with rice. I never just drink the broth. I always eat it with rice.
Filipinos always eat with rice.
I think we don't like just having soup that's
super. Koreans too.
Yeah.
Koreans too.
No, it feels like if there's no rice, it doesn't feel like a meal.
Yeah, exactly. You can't be fulfilled.
I honestly find it so strange how like Western culture, like they don't eat
bread.
Rice.
They
for,
eat
like,
bread.
Breakfast.
They eat like eggs and
green
stuff
onion
like that.
Fried egg with rice and kimchi and
yes.
Kim.
For us, for me, like my ideal breakfast would be like garlic rice
with egg,
like
a fried egg.
Fried egg. Either the Wait, meat stop. Would be like. I love spam. Don't hate me,
spam
guys.
Is so
spam
good.
Is so
yeah.
good.
I
think
I
spam
love
is
spam.
Just the Asian thing.
Yeah,
spam
actually.
A lot of Western thing. People doesn't really have, like, spam.
Like, people look at me weird when they see me, like, pull out
yeah,
my rice
I think
and spam.
They, it, I think
spam
it's because so they good. Think spam is really, like, a bad thing.
Yeah, they low-key have, like, a negative, like, stigma towards spam.
It's
but, like, it's literally
again,
just...
Again, I think it's, like, the class thing because it's a cheap meat.
Yeah, it's a
yeah.
cheap meat. Like, it would be, like World War II food or something like that.
But spam is, like, such a, like, such an easy...
You know,
good meal to make,
yeah,
though.
Exactly. You know, we kind of grew up with these things, so it's kind of just really interesting as like Asians to see all these things like be more integrated into like actual mainstream culture when it comes to like anime, K-pop, or foods like our favorite foods or stuff like matcha or hojicha that are like really big things right now. So it's really interesting to see, you know, things that we kind of kept more concealed growing up, mostly because, you know, we wanted to assimilate to Western culture, be more praised. And it's really great that we have that representation. But where do we cross the line between, you know, representation and appreciation with appropriation or, you know, glamorization, fetishization, stuff like that? And I think that's the important thing that we still have to like question today. Like, we're getting that representation, but also it's just like, where do we cross the line, you know? And that's a wrap for today's episode of Asian Wave.
Let's go!
Ooh. We hope you enjoyed this dive into how some of the things we grew up with have become global trends. I mean, who knew anime, K-pop, and even our favorite snacks would take over the world like this?
Seriously, it's amazing to see how much influence East Asian culture had across the globe. We can't wait to see what's next.
Okay, so thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Yes.
Is it at Asian Wave Pod?
Yes.
At
yes.
And
follow us.
Subscribe to Asian Wave so you guys don't miss another episode.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye,
guys. Bye.